Coming up, a candidate forum for School District 11 on making democracy work.
This is Peak Community, Studio 809 Podcast.
Welcome to Making Democracy Work. I'm your host, Shelley Roars, spokesperson for the League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak Region. Thank you for listening to Making Democracy Work and taking the time to learn more about being an active and engaged citizen. A big portion of our mission is voter education, and election forums are an integral part. We are in the middle of the fall 2025 election cycle, and we are sharing recorded versions of each candidate forum here on our podcast, Making Democracy Work. We hope you enjoy. Thank you for listening. Let's get to it. So welcome to the D11 Candidate Forum presented by LWV PPR's Youth Council and the League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak Region. I am your host, Shelley Roars, spokesperson for the League of Women Voters. And I am also a voter in D11, so, you know, I'm kind of biased in this one, so thank you for being here for everybody. The League of Women Voters is a nationwide nonprofit and nonpartisan, meaning we never endorse, support, or oppose candidates or political parties. Our mission is to empower voters and defend democracy. Joining me today are Anna Fedorik, LWV PPR's Youth Council Team Chair and a student in D11, and Sophia Melpakum, Doherty Student Council President, who will be moderating the forum this evening. So let's get to it.
Hi, my name's Sophia Melpakum. Like my intro said, I'm a student at Doherty High School. I'm a senior there, and I also have the honor of serving as our student body president this year.
Hi guys, good evening. Thanks for being with us tonight. My name is Anna Fedorik. I'm the LWV PPR Youth Council Chair, as well as a sophomore at Palmer High School. And so with that, I will introduce to you the candidates running for D11 School Board who are joining us are Ms. Leanne Baca Bartlett, Mr. Michael Karsten, Mr. Bruce Cole, Mr. John Gustafson, Mr. Charles Johnson, Mr. Jeremiah Johnson, and Ms. Michelle Rule.
We will start with candidate opening statements. Each candidate will have 1 minute for opening statements. Ms. Michelle Rule, you're up.
Hello, thank you so much. I'm Dr. Michelle Rule. I'm a pilot, a teacher, and a horse therapy instructor for children with disabilities. I'm also a mom of two little ones that may or may not still be back there eating Chick-fil-A, and wife to a military veteran. And I've also spent 21 years in the Air Force, so I'm a veteran, and I did fly combat missions over in the Middle East, but more importantly, I've taught English through the Air Force. And so I taught in Ghana, Tanzania, Nepal, and Afghanistan. And when I taught in Kabul, my little girls had to risk everything that they had to come to school because they believed education was the best hope for the future. Unfortunately, in D11, I'm hearing from a lot of my students and a lot of little girls. I'm a soccer coach. My girls telling me that they just don't see the point of public education, and that breaks my heart. But I think we can turn that around by raising academic scores, by helping students connect what they're doing in school to getting a job once they graduate, and then also improving the safety and trust in our public school system. Thank you.
Mr. Karsten, you're up.
Hello, Michael Karsten. I moved here in 1993. I had two kids graduate. They are 26 and 22 now. I am here to focus on solutions, not sides, to be the adult in the room, to steer people away from political distractions. I am here to support and advocate for transparency of every kind, financial transparency, transparency of what the board is doing, how they are deciding the decisions they are making. Mostly to keep great teachers in the classrooms. Students thrive when the teachers are happy and they have the experience needed and necessary. D11 lost 400 teachers last year, almost one in four. That's a big hole to dig your way out of. So I'm here to help dig that hole. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
Hello, everyone. My name is Charles Johnson. I'm a proud graduate of District 11, born and raised here in Colorado Springs, 25 years my whole life. I attended John Adams, Helen Hunt, Galileo North, Palmer, and Bijou, and I've seen the great opportunities and challenging times that District 11 has brought forth in our community and where we're at today. folks, I'm looking at the vision of progressing forward. We can see a vision where we can put our students first to make sure that their voices are actually being heard and put at the front of the table, as well as valuing our educators because they need the support and the well-being that's needed, and as well as putting parent empowerment because they need the uplifting that is needed in our community currently right now, and hopefully that happens.
Mr. Gustafson.
Hello, everyone, and thank you very much for coming out tonight. Before I say another word, I just want to acknowledge the hard and tireless work done by all D11 staff. They are the backbone of our educational community, and they are the wind beneath our children's wings, and they are my heroes, each and every one of them. Even on a bad day, they're the best, sometimes especially on a bad day. And like the firefighters, the police, and our armed services, they keep us safe and they protect us because they protect our future. And let's not forget that. And let's not forget why we're here today, because dang it, we want a better tomorrow. We want better outcomes. We want more transparency. We want schools that work. And if there is one thing that every school board for the last 20 years had in common, it was that they are all having to do something with special interests. And look where that's got us. Paid proxies slinging mud from the shadows, and our kids are caught in the middle. And that's why I'm running, because I think we need a change. My name is John Gustafson. Thank you very much.
Mr. Cole.
Good evening. Thank you, everybody, for being here. My name is Bruce Cole. I am an 18-year veteran educator in District 11, where I taught at Doherty High School, and then I taught at Mitchell High School. Reverse order of that, sorry. I have lived in District 11 for about 22 years now. I have children and grandchildren that have graduated, and I am running because I care about kids. My entire career, from being a pastor to being a nonprofit executive to now being a teacher and an educator, has all been around educating students and also taking care of protecting students. I am committed to having academic excellence in our schools, to making sure that we have budget and infrastructure that is set up and that we're teaching character and patriotism with kids. My name is Bruce Cole. I would appreciate your support. You can get more information on my website, www.electbrucecole.com.
Mr. Jeremiah Johnson.
Good evening, and thank you for coming. My name is Jeremiah Johnson. I'm a 15-year executive professional in D11, currently serving as a director. My wife is a D11 high school teacher, and we have two kids in the district. I am fully invested in the success of D11, the well-being of its teachers and staff, and the quality of its education. I'm not a politician. I'm a parent who sees firsthand the challenges and opportunities in our schools every day. I've worked in classrooms, alternative programs, and correctional settings. As a parent, I know what it means to want the best for our children. As a district leader, I know how to help D11 deliver on its promise to be the premier district of choice in the Pikes Peak region. Outside of D11, I'm a proud member of the Colorado Air National Guard. As a member of the engine shop, I've honed the skills, knowledge, and focus it takes to build and maintain jet engines. I know what it means to lead a team in crisis situations and to take your team's life into your hands. My military service has trained me to move forward with a singular purpose. It has strengthened my drive to lead with integrity and place the needs of others above my own. These are the values I will bring to the D11 board. Thank you.
Ms. Leanne Baca-Bartlett.
Hi, my name is Leanne Baca-Bartlett, and I'm running for School Board District 11. It's the district where I graduated with honors, where I put one of my children is currently enrolled in District 11, and I have one that just graduated this spring. My husband is also a graduate of District 11, and we moved back here specifically to be in Colorado Springs for the District 11 school. I'm a homeowner. And I believe in excellence, accountability, and transparency. I've worked with students in the classroom and in mental health settings, the most severe behavioral problems, as well as taught students at the college level how to interact and how to be better volunteers in School District 11. I also have a background in finance because I was a mathlete for District 11. And I look forward to taking a look at the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we will move on to a few student questions. Our first question is, what do you see as the current challenges facing public education in D11 in our state or in our country? You will have 30 seconds to answer this question, and we will start with Mr. Karsten. Yeah. What do you see as the current challenges facing public education in D11 in our state or in our country?
Sure. Current challenges facing D11, well, countrywide, underfunding and lack of funding, lack of seeing public education as something of import and something that we should focus on. I think that statewide, it's a similar issue. And for D11 specifically, again, the loss of the teachers last year was quite a hard hit. There are budget shortfalls. Sorry. Is it 30 seconds?
Yeah, 30 seconds.
I apologize. Sorry. Yeah.
Mr. Charles Johnson?
30 seconds.
Yeah, I believe the key root is transparency. I mean, we see schools are having issues with budget and maintenance. Teachers are not being well benefited. I think it's about collaboration at the end of the day, because education is the value of what does it mean to make a successful future, not only for the ones that are teaching, but the ones that are going to be prosperous for in the future for what their jobs look like. So transparency is the biggest issue that I would say is important.
Mr. Gustafson?
Everything is a subset of economics, and economics is broken. Like the homelessness crisis in California, they spend $500 million and it got worse. They're gonna try to do the same thing here in Colorado, just pumping more money in from Denver and it's gonna get worse. Now, who wins in that situation? Like special interests, they win all over the place. And that's the problem. John Gustafson, thank you very much.
Mr. Cole?
I think we all have to admit that education is evolving, and as a result of that, we're facing a lot of big challenges at the federal, at the state, and even at our local level. Parental units are very busy. There are economic crises that are going on. School funding is an issue. All of these things are making it so that our students are having to learn how to adapt to the new education environment. And maybe they're not prepared for that new thing that they need. So those are the biggest challenges we're having.
Mr. Jeremiah Johnson.
Thank you for the question. I think the number one issue we're facing across the nation is that we've lost the recognition that parents are the first teachers. We've lost that connection and relationship to the parent in the classroom. And next to access to high-quality instruction, I think that relationship with the parent and the student is the biggest factor in a student's academic success.
Ms. Bartlett.
The issues facing specifically District 11 are test scores. That's what I would want to take a look at. Then also safety, physical, as well as more intangible emotional items. I'm interested in taking a look at the climate, just the school climate for that safety for both students as well as educators. And we are facing budget cuts, and we're going to have to make difficult decisions, and we're going to have to be able to talk with one another and come up with solutions. Thank you.
Dr. Rule.
Can you hear us in the back? All right, we'll speak up. The three biggest issues that we have in public education are, one, that academic performance has declined 40% in 2 decades. That's unacceptable. The reading growth rate across the district is 38%, and the math is 29. The second is that students and families do not see education as being applicable or even helping them get a job once they graduate. And the third is that the community has lost their trust in the safety and in the performance of our public schools, so they're choosing to leave District 11. That's why my three priorities are raising academic performance, creating hope in the pipelines for the workforce, and improving that trust and safety.
Thank you for all your answers. Our second question from the student bodies are, federal directives have recently demanded to end an end to diversity and equity programs. What are your views on this, and how will that affect your efforts in our school district? We will start with Mr. Charles Johnson.
Yeah, talking about my campaign platform again, Students First, I think it's about collaboration and inclusivity. I think it's about representing all students, no matter their background or income. I think we can learn from those perspectives and opportunities and make a change for the better. So I would be happy to hear people's backgrounds and stories and be able to use that as collaboration at the forefront of how we can make success in our school.
Mr. John Gustafson.
You know, when I think about federal guidelines, I think about how far away Washington, D.C. or Denver, Colorado is from Colorado Springs and how misaligned their interests are with our interests. I think there's always going to be a push and pull. I think that's what democracy is all about. I think that's what the First Amendment is all about. People say things, it's hard, but we're all adults and we work through it. That being said, I got little kids. I want the world to be a place where everyone accepts everybody else. People live with dignity and respect. That's what I believe in.
Mr. Bruce Cole.
The concept of DEI coming from federal is in conflict with what state is doing right now. I think we need to make sure that all kids feel accepted, that they feel honored, that we are working with them, but we are also not going to continue to do divisive things, that we're going to start categorizing kids and then pitting them up one against another. So I think it's very important that we are accepting of all students, but not building programs that are going to divide us.
Mr. Jeremiah Johnson.
I believe strongly in individualized education. Can you hear me in the back? Thank you. Robust public education must offer a system that academically challenges every student to their full potential. And in D11, we're going to do that with student agency as the device to move that needle.
Ms. Bachlet.
I am concerned about diversity, equity, and inclusion. I have questions about what their removal does. Does this mean that we will no longer have handicapped spots because that's promoting equity? I also believe strongly in public education because it is a place that is open to all students and needs to be kept that way. Federal education cuts affect special education programs. They affect girls' sports programs, and I am concerned about those cuts. Thank you.
Mrs. Ruel.
Yeah, first, legally, Colorado schools should reaffirm our commitment to equal opportunity under the law by upholding Title VI and Title IX, which prevent discrimination. The federal directive to remove costly DEI programs was a part of a larger effort to trim spending. It doesn't mean that we throw out the underlying ideas. True DEI promotes academic excellence, fairness, and equal opportunity. Diversity means respecting different viewpoints, like we did in the military, but we had one shared mission. Equity means removing barriers to access, like when we teach underrepresented students at Mitchell High School, when I teach them how to fly or fix airplane engines. And inclusion means expanding language assistance and enhancing disability accommodations. So really what we're talking about is civic virtue, character, and respect.
Mr. Karsten?
I think DEI on a federal level, even a state level, is kind of a catchphrase that people use as gotcha statements. I think that the underlying idea that every kid matters, that every kid should have their voice heard, and that this perhaps the current board doesn't embroil themselves in a lawsuit that's anti-trans, I think that's a good stance to have. I think that every kid matters, and if you feel not seen, then the board is failing you. The school is failing you. Humanity is failing you.
Thank you. Our next question is, recently CSEA conducted a teacher strike in D11. What is your opinion on this strike, and what do you see as the board's role in supporting teachers and staff? You have 1 minute to answer this question, and we'll start with Mr. Gustafson.
Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. When I see stuff like that strike, I honestly think the CSEA is out of its mind. I think it's completely misaligned with the interests of this community. I've talked to a lot of people who are in the union, who are my age, a little bit older, and they say, I don't know. I didn't leave the union. It left me. And all of a sudden, things got weaponized. Things got divisive. And we weren't working towards solidarity. If there's not a purpose for something to exist, maybe it shouldn't exist. That being said, I definitely believe there's a purpose for solidarity. When people say things like, we're going to get rid of the master agreement, but we have your best interest in mind, they might be manipulating the narrative. There's a reason why people work together, and people should know about that. My name is John Gustafson. Thank you very much.
Mr. Cole?
Surprisingly, to many of you, I was a member of CSEA the entire 18 years that I taught in District 11. I was a conservative in a sea of a lot of differing views, but I always felt accepted, even when I stood up for the opposite side. I joined because the master agreement locked out anyone but union-appointed members from district committee, and my heart burned for our teachers, for our students, and for our district, and I wanted to be in the fight. But then I watched, heartbroken, as the union abandoned teachers as far-left crusades. My voice was silenced. I saw them turn down more money for educators because it didn't serve their agenda. Compromise was crushed, and the master agreement became a weapon. I walked away. I couldn't stomach it. Here's what few know. CSEA came to me, offered me their full war chest to elect me if I just pledged to resurrect that master agreement. I looked them in the eye and said, no, my soul is not for sale.
Mr. Jeremiah Johnson.
So during the strike, I subbed and learned a whole new respect for my wife, who is a French teacher. I did the best I could, but I'm not a teacher. I think our students deserve to come to school and be safe and be educated, so I wanted to make sure that they had a staff member in the building for that purpose. I think the second part of this question is the board's support of staff. Their role is to offer the best benefits package, the best pay package, the best compensation, and a safe place to work. That is the board's role in supporting our staff.
Ms. Bartlett?
I felt that the total elimination of the master agreement seems extreme, especially without a plan. I believe that the role of holding the union accountable, CSEA accountable, lies with the teachers, and I believe that they have the right to organize. And I saw the strike as the teachers making a statement that they wanted to have that union and they wanted to have negotiations.
Dr. Rule.
Thank you. The strike was somewhat puzzling to me. My husband is part of the airline community, and they have a union, and they strike when there's negotiations on the table. What I saw on strike day was puzzling because there weren't negotiations on the table, and the sign said that the strike was for students. But on that day, I was also a substitute, and I took underrepresented children up flying in how to fix airplanes, taught them how to fix airplanes, and they normally would not have had access to that. Had we canceled that day, that was 13 students that would not have ever been able to go up and fly over Pikes Peak. So I stand behind teachers, and I want to hear the grievances, and I've also been fighting for our rights to assemble, but I just don't quite understand how the strike was for students.
Mr. Karsten.
I did walk with the teachers, and I think that unions in America, around the world, work pretty well. I think that the people who say they don't work have a vested interest in them not working. And there were no negotiations on the table because the board unilaterally ended the master agreement. It's very simple. There are police unions that a bunch of people support. We have a 40-hour work week. We have no child labor laws. There's a lot of reasons unions work. And if the union wasn't working for D11, I think that that probably should have come from parents and instead of the board. Ultimately, it's a board decision, obviously. What they replaced is, a handbook and PACE. They are not a replacement. It's simply not the same. So if elected on the board, I will actively pursue an agreement with teachers who are the ones doing the job in the room, not the board members, who meet once a week. Thank you.
Mr. Charles Johnson.
Yeah, like Michael said, I was out there alongside teachers as well. And being a former graduate and student of the district, it was very heartfelt to see teachers and coaches of mine standing in solidarity with each other to show that we have each other's back, no matter if we don't have an agreement at the table or not. But that also brings up the question of when can we come back to the table? How can we see the benefits of education and how that impacts our students, but also as our educators? Because it's not just the teachers in the classroom, it's our bus drivers, it's our lunch ladies and women and men, it's our janitors. It's people that sacrifice their everyday living day in and day out that need the opportunity, that need the voice at the table. So I would be looking forward to collaborating with our teachers and bringing back a master agreement.
Thank you for your guys' answers. Your next question is, do you believe the district is doing enough to support students with diverse learning needs? For example, students with disabilities, students with learning difficulties, and gifted and talented students. You have 30 seconds to answer this question, and we will start the question with Mr. Cole.
The heart of your question is, are we doing enough? And I think my answer would have to be, obviously not. We still have a lot of students that are struggling, and we have to provide the resources that are necessary to make it so that the students with special needs are getting all the support that they can get. I think that we need to make sure that we're expanding to have the correct number of educational assistance with our disabled students, and we need to just make sure that we are providing every resource that we can possibly direct towards helping those special populations.
Mr. Jeremiah Johnson.
Thank you. So in D11, we use a software called Special Programs. This software houses all of our IEPs, our advanced learning programs, our 504 documentation. What I'm saying is that these are all the tools we use to support our diverse population of students, special needs, and advanced students. I think one big change we can make for the better is we can find ways to pay special needs teachers and SPED teachers and even assistants more money to take those jobs.
There are students falling behind. There are IEPs that need to be fulfilled. There have been funding cuts that have affected ESP. And yes, there's more that can be done. And talking to teachers, I understand that that they're concerned. They're concerned that maybe the district is facing a lawsuit because IEPs aren't able to be fulfilled and kids aren't getting the support that they need in the classroom.
Dr. Rule.
Yes, I absolutely think that we could do more. I think we need to help students who fell behind during COVID with targeted interventions. We need to help teachers get targeted training and professional development. I talked to one mom in one of our elementary schools that said their child's IEP wasn't being followed, and I asked, why not? She said, I don't know. So more transparency and communication with parents about IEPs. And for our gifted and talented, finding more opportunities and internships for them. And for all high school students, more apprenticeships and direct internships. We have some of the best businesses in our own backyard in the defense industry. How can we align the work that they're doing so they can get jobs after graduation?
Mr. Carson.
To be frank, I haven't studied what the district is doing well as much as I have studied what the district is not doing well. I have spoken to parents of IEP kids. I've spoken to parents of former IEP kids. And I think that ultimately it comes down to speaking to the parents and the teachers, having everyone at the same table, and figuring out what's best for every student. The parents know the kid best. And if we have enough staffing for that purpose, then things should work.
Yeah, I think I agree with most of what everyone's saying up here. I think it starts with the transparency and being at the forefront. I think it's also about representing and supporting our ASPs because they play a challenging role for a lot of these students that don't get the fair opportunities or have the likely resources to be able to have that done. And I would hope that we can meet at the table with those people that are asking those hard and tough questions alongside the parents as well to find those resources. And I think it's important too as well when we talk about our students about putting them first as well. One of my goals is to create a student advisory committee for people like you guys up here today that are asking us the questions, but to also be involved and hear from your voice from the students' perspective. And I think that will help us engage where we're going to.
Mr. Gustafson.
Yes, I think the district is doing great, and yes, I think they need to do more. We always need to do more. And if you lived in the neighborhood I lived in, you'll know why. Because people are struggling and they need help. And I'd also say that, yes, I do believe in school choice. I believe in charter schools. There's a great one up the street from me. It's called Thomas McLaren. It's fantastic. That being said, we all know the strain that charter schools put on the the people with special needs in our community. It's subtle and it's hard to catch, but it's there. I love the Orton Academy, and I think we need to meet kids where they are. My apologies.
Thank you. Your next question is, how would you lead a response to concerns or issues that arise from sensitive and mature topics being discussed in books or other content that can be deemed controversial? You will have 30 seconds to answer this question, and we will start with Mr. Jeremiah Johnson.
Can you do me a huge favor and repeat that question, please?
Yeah. How would you lead a response to concerns or issues that arise from sensitive and mature topics being discussed in books or other content that can be deemed controversial?
Sure. So I lead a lot of conversations, group activities now. In my current role as a director, I would do the same exact thing. You get a group together of experts, you have a thorough conversation, you're a thoughtful, active listener, and you make the best decision for students.
Ms. Bartlett?
Hopefully, this issue should not reach the board members. This should be first a local classroom issue where teachers and students are working together. Maybe they involve an administrator if there's difficulty. Maybe they involve a parent. But that's conversation that needs to be happening within the classroom and at the school level. I don't think that the board members should be involved in trying to get involved with a controversial subject.
Dr. Rule?
I would lead like I did as a colonel in the military, with dignity and respect. And I would lead like I have on the school board I'm currently on, up in D20, by starting with the core values. I remind the entire community that we're here for the students, for the teachers, for the parents, and for the community. I also remind us of core values: high quality instruction, classroom focused resources, academic excellence, and connected communities. Next, I would hold town halls, gather information and evidence, define the problem neutrally, and clarify the values tension. There's always tension between topics, but we can find common ground, which is our students and their academic achievement.
Mr. Karsten.
I would, as Mr. Johnson so eloquently said, there is already a process in place for textbooks. When they reach the kids, they've gone through a vetting process. I believe that education should progress, not regress. There's already been a chapter literally sliced out of a textbook this year for high school kids. Banning books that have been acceptable for decades, in my opinion. Every kid's different, and every kid's raised in a different household. But public school is here to educate.
Mr. Charles Johnson?
Yeah, I think it's also, like people said, I think it's about collaboration. I think it's working with our librarians to make sure that we are putting the most accurate and up-to-date books that are in our classroom for people to be able to read. But I also think it's about talking about our world life experience, because it doesn't just happen in the classroom. It happens in our everyday walk of life, and I think we need to bring that perspective as well to the opportunity of education and not just what's happening in the classroom.
Mr. Gustafson?
You know, I would say that the same infiltration that has happened to the unions is happening right now into our libraries. And I would warn everyone here today, especially the young people, about divisive topics that are engineered to keep people fighting with each other. They are the reason that we can't get the structural changes we need. Special interest groups love divisive topics, topics that don't have an answer, but get their people motivated. That's what they do. So that being said, I got little kids. I also have many friends and family members who are in the homosexual community. I love and cherish all of them. I think we need to have dignity for people and lead with courage and respect. My apologies.
Mr. Cole?
First of all, I am not for banning books. I think that as a leader, the school board has to take a look at curriculum, which we do have a process for that within the district, making sure that we are listening to parental voices and that we are looking at what is age appropriate. We have to have clear content warnings on the books in our libraries, and we also need to be allowing parents to have an opt-in or an opt-out option with many of those controversial subjects. I think that any explicit material in elementary schools needs to not be there.
All right, we're going to move to some questions written by the audience now. Your first audience question is, what is your view on AI in classrooms? Should it be allowed? If so, how? And we are going to start with Ms. Barclay.
30 seconds.
Can you repeat the question, please?
What are your views on AI in classrooms? Should it be allowed? If so, how?
Artificial intelligence needs guardrails. I've sat with my daughter in eighth grade as she's trying to complete an English assignment that's using AI, and both of us are puzzled. I'm a published author. I've done a lot of different kinds of writing, and I struggled, and then struggled with my child to try to understand this AI program that she was using in an English class. And in my opinion, the AI was incorrect, and so I had to manage that frustration. AI needs guardrails.
Dr. Rule.
As a flight instructor, we dealt with this with GPS when it first came up. GPS can be an incredible tool if it's used correctly, but what happens when your battery dies on your phone? No one knows how to get anywhere anymore. So we still have to teach our kids how to fly by using paper maps and doing math calculations. AI is the same thing. Now in the English classroom, we know the students are using AI. So to write their papers, we have to focus on process and portfolio, have them edit in class, and they're still going to use the AI, but we hope they use it ethically. Which leads to my last point. At the Pentagon 4 years ago, we had to take ethics classes in AI before it was released to the public, because that's how important it was that we saw it as a life or death decision in using AI ethically.
Mr. Karsten.
I think if AI can be used to help students, especially if it's like personalized learning, that's great. I think that it, as people are saying, it needs guardrails. I would, however, also caution that a large component of why you go to school and don't stay home and go to homeschool, no shade on homeschool. What I'm saying is people go to school because there's a very important social element, including the teacher and the fellow students, and AI would get rid of all of that.
Mr. Charles Johnson.
Yeah, I'd say I would agree with Leanne and Michael's analysis of that. I think it does take regulation through that, but I also think it takes the opportunity to challenge what AI can actually adapt and bring to our country and for our students. I think when we talk about STEM and other ways of cybersecurity, I think AI plays a natural role in involving our nation. And so if we can't adapt or find ways to regulate it, then we're doing a disservice of putting it in front of our students of trying to make it a better learning environment.
Mr. Gustafson.
When I think of all the slop, spam emails, and horrible YouTube videos coming at me all the time, I think about what I say to my wife, which is that these people who use this AI, if you really loved me, you wouldn't torment me with your AI robots. Everything is a subset of economics. Whatever makes the most money wins. Interests aren't aligned with us, they're aligned with making money, and they're willing to say whatever it takes and manipulate whoever they need to make it seem like it's in our best interest. What Mr. Karsten said, would it be in our best interest to not be socialized or know how to think? I don't think so.
Mr. Cole.
As a teacher, I got to tell you that there is no greater joy to see a little bit of real intelligence from my students before I see the artificial intelligence. So I think I would like to really work to make sure that we are developing real intelligence in reading and math, and making sure students can do those things, and then incorporating AI as a tool to enhance their real intelligence, not a dependence upon something that's artificial.
Mr. Jeremiah Johnson.
As the current director of the Digital Solutions Department, I wholeheartedly support AI in the classroom, but with structure. Currently, we see that structure through a product called Power Buddy in our curriculum. My team that I supervise goes out and trains our teachers on that curriculum and the benefit of having that AI product in front of them. I was lucky enough to train my wife on it when she used it, and it turned a 3-hour planning period into 10 minutes. It was able to produce a whole day's worth of student work for the teacher. And with the guardrails we have in place for students, it's an excellent tool for them as well.
Thank you. Our next question is, how will you attempt to recruit and retain high quality teachers in the district? We will start with Dr. Rule, and you have 30 seconds to answer.
I think we're doing some of that now, being able to offer incentive pay for underfunded courses like calculus. It's hard to get calculus teachers to come here, even though it's a beautiful place to teach. But it's also hard to get aviation instructors. It's hard to get specialized teachers. So being able to incentivize for teachers to teach those higher level classes and also dual enrollment classes. I know a lot of higher ed professors that would love to work in our schools, and we just haven't reached out to them enough. So I think there's outreach that can be done so that we can actually kill two birds with one stone. And then finally, also just reminding people about the community. Who are we in D11, and do you want to become part of this community is going to draw people to us.
Mr. Karsten?
I think you know my answer. Colorado's a wonderful, amazing, beautiful place to live, and it's got a lot of benefits. I'm not certain I would move across the country for a job that I wasn't certain that I would have a contract for. I'm not certain that I would move here to have the support or lack thereof of the people who hold my job in the palm of their hand. So I think that an agreement doesn't need to be the master agreement, but an agreement, a new agreement with teachers is the answer to get new teachers back.
Mr. Charles Johnson.
Yeah, I think that's an important question. I mean, we see that in today's time, a teacher shortage is very burdened, not just in District 11, but across the nation. I think it's about meeting teachers where they're at. We see a lot of up-and-coming rising stars in our higher education system. I think it's meeting with our education department to talk to those future educators and see what are they seeing in the future way of education, how we can adapt to that going forward. And also meeting the people that want to come into our district. I know sometimes during the summer on weekends, we have sign-ons for people to come be involved in the district. And I think it's about meeting those teachers and people where they're at and asking them what is their true involvement, what do they care about being a part of District 11.
Mr. Gustafson?
We need to cut out the skullduggery. We need to cut out the hypocrisy. I talk to a lot of teachers, and if I had a nickel for every teacher that told me that when they get a missive from the board or a communication, they want to say, "Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining," I could build a mansion out of nickels. The fact of the matter is that there is no trust right now. I saw when the hate mailers started going out that certain special interests were besmirching other people in my community. And I made a call out for people to stand up and say that that's wrong. And nobody stood up and said that that's wrong. How can teachers trust anybody who won't call out bullying?
Mr. Cole?
If we're going to recruit high-quality teachers, we have to make sure that we have a corporate culture that is positive, that people are rewarded in a way that is fair and meets market demands. And then we also really have to make sure that discipline and behavior are being taken care of in our classrooms, because teachers who are spending 90% of their time on classroom behavior issues are unable to teach, and that is not a culture where teachers want to come and work.
Mr. Jeremiah Johnson.
We need to increase pay and benefits for our teachers. We need to offer bonuses for the highest in-demand jobs. We need the best pay and benefits of all surrounding districts so we can be the central hub for the Pikes Peak region. And I think we need better training and coaching and supports in the classroom for our teachers. I think that we need to align all of those tools to the curriculum that we have, because I think everyone wants to be part of a high-performing team. And if we provide that opportunity to our teachers, they'll want to come here.
Ms. Bartlett?
Teachers are licensed, educated professionals. They might be incentivized with higher pay and bonuses and opportunities to increase their pay. However, Teachers need to be, it's about the climate. Teachers need to be respected for the educated professionals that they are, as well as the librarians who are choosing the books that are going in the libraries. I believe in those educated professionals, and I believe in creating a positive climate where teachers are attracted. And pay is can be an incentive, a large incentive. However, teachers want agency. They want a say in their curriculum.
Thank you so much for your answers. This will be our last open-ended question of the night. You have 30 seconds to answer this question, and we will start with candidate Mr. Carson. Your question is, what is your top action item that you think is the most important for improving D11, and what makes you the best qualified candidate to achieve it?
I think transparency is the number one item. I think the board should have less executive sessions. I think it should be open, as open as possible. I think that anyone who pays taxes in District 11 should have a chance to see the down to the penny, every penny that's being spent. And if we start there, then we can start to fix things. We can hopefully cut special interests out. We can cut out no-bid contracts. These are tax dollars being spent. In theory, they're supposed to go to kids.
Mr. Charles Johnson?
Yeah, I would say for me, it's about progress. Being a former graduate and student of the district, sitting in the classroom, playing on those football fields and walking those halls, just wondering what my future is going to behold for me here now, less than 13 years later, now running for the school board. I think it's important that we show that the future is ready to be able to lead, to be able to help their community and give back to what's important. So hopefully bring back collaboration with the students, possibly creating a student advisory board to hear your guys' perspective, because you guys deserve to have a voice at the table too and not just be sitting down on the desk.
Mr. Gustafson.
Well, I gotta say that as a D11 parent and community member who recently was summarily canceled by the school board for reasons that remain completely hidden, I feel that transparency is a big issue. I think transparency is important, and you can't have trust without it. I'm a blue-collar guy. I'm a small business owner. I know budgets. More importantly, I know bureaucracy. I know when to tell when someone's peeing on my leg and trying to tell me it's raining.
Mr. Cole.
When 61% of our students are failing on reading, our top priority has got to be fixing reading. I would like to come in and focus on K through 3. I'm encouraged by the new curriculum that we have brought in this year, but I would like to see us really focusing on K through 3, teaching kids how to read so that from 4 through 12, they're able to read to learn. I want to make sure that our curriculum is strong, that we have adequate teacher supports, and that we are dividing labor in such a way that teachers can actually do their job.
Mr. Jeremiah Johnson.
Student safety and academic excellence are hand in hand, but student safety is my first priority. Every child deserves to be kept safe when they walk through D11's doors, and I'm going to advocate for enhanced security measures and emergency preparedness in every school and every building we have. I want to support strong behavioral standards to prevent bullying and protect our students in the climate, because no one deserves to be unsafe in a D11 facility.
Ms. Barlett?
Student safety, financial responsibility are my priorities. I'm not interested in serving on the board and reinventing the wheel, but building relationships and learning from current board members for how they reached the decisions that they've made, and working on bringing the best education we can to the students. I've been a volunteer. I've been a trusted community member for over 25 years in Colorado Springs, and I'm the child of educators and a District 11 parent. Thank you.
Dr. Rule.
Yes, my number one priority is raising the academic achievement, which is a multifaceted approach. It includes encouraging active and individualized learning methods, supporting teacher development, and increasing parent and family engagement. Schools can also leverage technology and data analysis to identify learning gaps and implement targeted interventions to help all students succeed. Why am I the most qualified? I have a PhD in writing and rhetoric, so I understand literacy interventions. I have a master's in psychology, so I understand the human condition behind learning. I've managed manage multi-billion dollar budgets at the Pentagon, and I'm a teacher, a soccer coach, a Girl Scout troop leader with a heart for children who's already on a board and has raised academic achievement.
Thank you. We will now host a lightning round of yes, no questions. We will go back and forth from my left to my right and so on. Candidates, we will not announce your name before each answer, so please go after the candidate next to you has answered their question. Candidates may only respond with yes or no. Again, we are starting with Dr. Rule, and next we will go to candidate Mr. Karsten, and so on. Again, we will not announce your name before each answer, so please go after the candidate next to you has answered their question.
Alrighty. Your first lightning round question is, would you support increased funding help programs for mental health services and support systems for students?
Yes.
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 Yes. Sorry, Bruce.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you believe teachers should have flexibility to adapt curriculum to meet students' needs?
Heck yes.
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 Do you support book banning?
No.
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 With Colorado laws stating sex ed is not mandatory to teach in schools, do you think sex ed should be taught at the high school level?
This is more complicated than yes or no. Go on.
Yes.
Yes.
Dr. Rule is right. I'm with her on this one.
No.
With the parent opt-out.
Yes.
D11 passed a board policy that bans cell phones during instructional time at schools. Do you support this ban?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
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 Do you support student expression of gender and sexual identity in schools?
This is more complicated than the yes or no question. They may express their true biological gender, yes.
It's not complicated, yes.
Yes.
Can people express themselves in America?
Yes.
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 First Amendment.
Yes.
Would you support increasing funding for arts, music, and other extracurricular programs in schools?
Yes.
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 Thank you. That is the end of our questions. We will now ask each candidate to finish with their closing statement. We will go in reverse order from the opening statements, and each candidate will get 1 minute. We'll start with Ms. Bartlett.
My name is Leanne Baca Bartlett. I'm here to ask you for your vote. I'm a trusted community member. I believe in excellence in education. I believe in transparency and accountability. And I'm so happy to see so many familiar faces. As a taxpayer, I believe I'd be responsible with your tax dollars, having had financial background. Also, I have a background in mental health, working with children of all kinds of different abilities. So again, I'm here to ask for your voice, to express my voice, to hear your voices, and to ask for your vote. Thank you.
Mr. Jeremiah Johnson.
Good evening. My name is Jeremiah Johnson. I'm running for the D11 school board because I believe our children, families, and taxpayers deserve a learning institution that is safe, academically rigorous, versatile, and honoring of the trust their parents place in our institution. My priorities are student safety, academic excellence, parental rights, and school choice. I hope that tonight I've made it clear that I believe that politics do not belong in the classroom and that I stand by our teachers and staff at D11. My wish is to move forward in a positive direction academically and to help D11 be a stronger member of our community. Thank you, and I hope that I've earned your vote.
Mr. Cole.
I too thank you for being here tonight. I am the only one up here that is regularly taught in a classroom in District 11. I have committed the last 18 years of my life to the students of District 11, and I'm not done with that commitment. I want to see our teachers thrive. I want to see our students learning. I want to see an educational institution in our neighborhoods that we are proud of. And that's why I'm running. I am academically prepared for this. I hold an EDS degree in curriculum and teaching, a master's in education administration, as well as a master's in organization development, and a bachelor's degree in finance. So I'm able to do the job of a board member. I am well equipped. I ask for your support and for your vote. Thank you.
Mr. Gustafson.
Hi, my name is John Gustafson. If you want to find out more about me, go to electjohngustafson@squarespace.com. And I'd like to say, you know, I want better grades for the kids. I want better relationships between teachers and admin. And I want schools that work. I got to say, I hate it when people weaponize euphemisms like laser focus, when what they really mean is dumping on our teachers and taking all resiliency out of the system, monetizing what they carve out as though companies like Microsoft and Palantir have our children's best interests at heart and then leaving us holding the bag. And I'd like to say one more thing. During this whole election cycle, there has been a lot of mud throwing going on. And I'm about to say something that might get me in a little bit of trouble because I'm a little bit conservative and I'm going to be accused of splitting the vote. I'm going to say that mud was slang at almost everybody all around me, except for one person. And I would like to say that the people who were slinging mud didn't sling at that person because they're gentlemen. But I know anyone who would sling mud is no gentleman. I'd say that one person is sitting here, and she's right at the end of the table. And she must be impeccable if she didn't have mud slung at her. My name is John Gustafson. I would like your vote for D11 School Board. Thank you very much.
Mr. Gustafson. Mr. Charles Johnson.
Again, thank you to League Women Voters for hosting this event. Thank you to people that came out tonight. You guys didn't have to be here, but you chose to. Once again, I'm a proud graduate of District 11. I grew up here in this community 25 years. I work here currently. I'm running to show that there's a vision of hope for our youth and for our community, that there can be possible change, that we can see true balance come back to a district that we all know and once loved, and that future generations can thrive. And I want to see that experience, whether it's putting our students first, valuing our educators, or building parent empowerment. I think all those levels together make a great success for our district. And I ask for your vote November 4th. Thank you.
Mr. Karsten.
Leanne is impeccable. I've run businesses in Colorado Springs since the early, well, since 2000. I know budgets. I know employees. I know employee relations. I own a restaurant downtown. If you want to know about me, ask literally anyone who works at a restaurant downtown, and they will tell you, and that's more than I can say about myself. I will let them speak for me. I also would suggest that anyone who's interested in hearing what words are said when the cameras are off, if there are more fundraisers being thrown, please attend one so you can hear what's being said. When there's a lot of flowery things being said here in front of you right now, they are not the same things that are necessarily said when the cameras are turned off. So it's actions, not words. We can say anything we want, but it's the actions that will define us, and it's the actions that will define the history and the future of Colorado Springs. Thank you. Thanks to League of Women Voters. Thank you very much.
Dr. Rule.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. Thank you to my kids who are up past their bedtime. I just want to say that I told you I've taught English around the world, and what I have noticed is that this country, the United States, is still the best hope for our children's future. I want to see inspired students. I want to see teachers that are joyful and feel prepared to teach those students. I want to see engaged parents, and I want community members that wrap their arms around our children, because we're handing over the baton to them once we're done. They're the future of our generation. And I've been on a school board. I've raised student scores before. I've created a safety plan before. I've raised hope and inspired students before, and I'm gonna do that again. 4 months ago, I was a pilot on a mission, and now I'm a mom on a mission, and I hope that you'll join me. You can learn more at Ruehl, R-U-E-H-L, for D11.com. And lastly, go Air Force, beat Army.
Can we get a round of applause for all of your D11 candidates? Thank you, everyone. So that wraps up our 2025 candidate forum for District 11. Thank you to the LWV PPR Youth Council and the League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak region for all that you did to make tonight a success, the candidates for your participation and being in the hot seat, and thank you to the D11 voters joining us this evening. This recording is available immediately on our YouTube channel thanks to Studio 809 Podcasts and also on our Making Democracy Work podcasts. Ballots have been mailed, and be sure to return your ballots by 7 p.m. on Tuesday, November 4th. Thank you for being an active and engaged voter. Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight.